was really pleased today, as you heard all of my colleagues who serve on the consortium with me were also pleased. They took a very thorough approach over several months to interview, to meet with, to listen with families impacted, leaders in our community, systems of care, and in particular address areas of real outstanding need.
One thing that was mentioned is the disparity between Delaware being at the top of the list in a lot of, or near the top of the list in overdoses and a lot of bad categories, but at the same time, rolling out a lot more policy than other states and doing a lot more with this consortium and other efforts. Is that disconcerting at this time, that you're doing more than other states, but at the same time there are so many overdoses? Last year, more than 400 people.
We knew that going into this a year ago that it would be darker before it was light. I've been saying that for a while. We knew that our report did not get issued. It's not even been a year that our report has been issued. And during that time, as you heard, we've started the first overdose system of care in the country. And all eyes are on Delaware at this time. And that is truthfully one of the reasons Pew picked Delaware, just two states across the nation, to come and work with us, because we had boots on the ground. We have individuals very committed, and whether we're talking about our reforms that we're addressing in our Department of Corrections with providing the necessary treatment, or looking at overall policy, providers and prescription accessibility to medically assisted treatment, and working with DSAM and Division of Public Health to make sure when somebody needs help, that they get the help that they need when they need it. And again, that gets back to our mental health parity legislation, our Narcan expansion, and so it's a lot of good stuff. And it is probably breath-catching when you look at the number of persons that we have lost. Each one of those numbers represents a life, a person who hasn't fulfilled their dreams. And I am committed, our governor is committed, and I know members of our General Assembly and everyone at this table, the consortium, is very committed to making sure that that number decreases while increasing access to mental health services from our children to our seniors.
You've been able to do quite a lot as far as providing Narcan and beginning the START program, utilizing DSAM grants and some state dollars from the budget as well for the Narcan. But going forward with these recommendations and bringing up things like expanding workforce, what are some strategies looking forward to fund projects like that?
Form follows function. And when I was a senator, I sat in the same room here at Buena Vista, and we came up with a whole workforce plan. And it is one step at a time. And I'm really excited that we have some of the brightest, smartest, not only academicians and partners at Del State and University of Delaware, where we can apply for funds and resources, whether we're talking expansion of physician's assistants who are working hand in hand with our medical doctors or our nurse practitioners working hand in hand. We need to be able to look at how we're maximizing those resources. I'm not worried so much about the funding as I am worried about making sure that we have the structure in place, the permanency, and I'm really excited about it, quite frankly. I think we're in a good place to be able to expand on that workforce component as well as our treatment expansion.
Again, back to the high number of overdoses. One expression you like to use a lot is stop the bleeding. Mm-hmm. As far as just the list of priorities, where do you see the wound is right now? What's the most important thing to do?
I think we continue to do what stop the bleed means is harm reduction in our community. And I think for us, it's getting people the services immediately when they need it, making sure that when I'm out on the street with Dr. Gibney and others from our Access and Treatment Committee, that not only are we delivering the Narcan, which is the antidote to when someone overdoses, but they get that service and those treatment, whether it be a mental health provider that they need to see, and that they have that continuum of care available. That continues to be our number one priority. You are correct that there's a lot that we need to do in prevention. There is a lot that we need to do in education and with vulnerable groups. So we continue to work very closely with our veterans, our homeless advocates, as well as our law enforcement to make sure that we are driving down that number of deaths in our state.
One way that Rhode Island was successful in doing that was allowing medication-assisted treatment in the prison system.
Yep.
And I know that's something you're already rolling out here in Delaware. There was a call to expand that
yep.
just now from Pew, details of those plans?
Yes. I know that our cabinet secretaries have been really closely talking about this, both our Secretary of Health and Social Services, as well as our Secretary of Homeland Security and our Head of Commissioner of Corrections. This is a really important topic. The prison system in our state, correctional system, I should say, is really aware of the need. You heard today data that were provided from the state of Rhode Island, where they talked about 61% decrease in Rhode Island's loss of life from having just the MAT available in prison. So Delaware is looking at that. We've been expanding. I think if you were to talk to our leaders at DSAM and DPH, that is a real priority. And so we're really pleased that they're looking at all three forms of medically assisted treatment available to our prison population.
And back to the workforce, the STAR program is rolled out. Where are we right now as far as getting peer mentors into emergency departments, and where are there opportunities to do more with that?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer as a public health nurse, the public health nursing professor, it all starts at the street level. It's boots on the ground and having persons who've had that lived experience. So I am thrilled with the expansion to not only peer educators and peer mentors, but the potential eventually to have community health workers. That is a real way of implementing help at the doorstep, helping individuals who've been in that path to stay along a path of recovery. We know that certain models have been implemented, whether we're looking at the Christiana Health System with Project Engage, or whether we're at St. Francis in the ED with Dr. Gibney and her peer mentors from Brandywine. It is absolutely paramount. And so we're excited to continue to look at the value of peer educators and community workers.
Specifically in Sussex County, are there plans? If you looked at that map from Pew, there's big gaps in care down in that part of the state. Mm-hmm. The two programs you just mentioned are Newcastle. What's being done in Sussex?
Believe it or not, I'm so glad you asked that question. There's a misnomer. There are lots of peer educators also in Sussex and Kent who are available to you through different providers. And if you call, Delaware Help is here, as well as, you know, reaching out to my office, we can connect you. Brandywine, who I just mentioned with St. Francis, is statewide. You know, connections. I mean, you name it, we have people available. We have mentors at all levels. And we're really excited today when we heard from the Department of Ed with SAMHSA program, which is funding for our children and families addressing trauma. Governor Carney, you know, has made that whole trauma initiative important to him, as well as his reentry initiative with his executive order. It all fits hand in hand. Peers who've been through the correction system, peers perhaps who have lived with alcoholism, who've perhaps ended up on Percocet, who ended up also eventually using heroin. That matters. And so statewide, we have the access for them.
Okay, last question. Any comment on being named to co-chair the Lieutenant Governors Association right now?
Well, there is two levels. I serve on the board of the National Lieutenant Governors Association now. That is Republican and Democrat. And just was announced this week that I will be co-chairing the Democrat National Lieutenant Governors Association. And it's just a fantastic organization, really focused on what matters to working families.